evening. Good evening, my friends, and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited to have you with us here tonight. It is Monday, April 30th, 2007, about 11 o'clock on the nose, I guess. 11 p.m., of course, here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. And maybe you're over at our website, franklyspeakingradio.com. Welcome to all of you, and pleased you're here. I hope you all had a great weekend. I did absolutely nothing, and it was nice. I contemplated a camping trip, something like that. I do love being outside. I do love doing things outdoors, you know. You call it communing with nature, whatever the case may be. I dig it. I always have, and I've always tried to sort of balance my time. You know, if you've ever gone on a lengthy camping trip or anything like that, you just really want to shower, you know. You want some modern conveniences. You like some air conditioning. Or if you're camping in the winter, you'd like, a heater, fireplace, something like that, warm clothes, warm bed, stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, if you're stuck in the city too long, you crave the outdoors. And while this is not necessarily the most metropolitan of areas, meaning city-like, it's got a nice mixture, but I do still like being outside. So I did, spend a little time outdoors, went to the park and, played around with the family, did some stuff like that. It was nice. I did truly enjoy it. I feel refreshed from the weekend, and that is also a rarity because I still try to fit in as much work as I possibly can without cutting into the family time. It's a weird thing, radio, a weird lifestyle, and I don't envy anybody in it. In fact, you have my sympathy if you are. But welcome to all of you here tonight. It's a brand new week, and we'll be talking to our good friend Grant Hall. He's a sponsor of our show. He'll be joining us next hour. Until then, we've got some news to look at and some other things as well. You're more than welcome to take us anywhere you might like us to go. Feel free to do so. And that phone number, of course, is 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. And we have a new guy answering the phones, somebody I know very well. His name is Ken. Ken, do you want to say hi to everybody? You remember how to turn on the mic and everything? Is that even going over the air?
It is now.
Okay, there we go. Good. Yeah. I'm doing well. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, man. It's great to be back.
Yeah, you and I worked together when I was on mornings.
That's right.
And now I presume you're getting a little more sleep as well.
Yes, I have.
Well, good. Glad to hear that. It's going to be still a four-hour show. You going to be all right through the whole thing?
Yeah, I've only been on since 3 o'clock this afternoon, so.
Oh, suck it up, soldier. You'll be fine.
We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
Well, very good. Well, welcome back, my friend. And, of course, that cheery voice, I always call him Captain Sunshine. Ken's always in a cheery mood for some reason. And he'll be helming the phones tonight. And, I'm looking forward to working with you again, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. So here we are, the end of April. We've successfully made it through another month, and I'm very pleased by that. So always going to be news stories out there that say, according to an anonymous intelligence source, so-and-so is going to attack so-and-so by this date. And so far, so good. We've been able to avoid most of those things, which is a great thing. However, obviously, we won't be able to avoid them all forever. But at the same time, it is another end of the month, a time to celebrate, time to be happy, and I am happy with that. Now, obviously, May 1st is tomorrow. May 1st is May Day, as a lot of you know. May Day, a time of gatherings of immigrants and communists and various other things. Also, very, very high-level satanic holiday, from what I understand. So make sure your armor's on, my friends, okay? And that having been said, we're up to our first break, so please stay with us. We're back in a very short 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
You got a caller already, Karis in Illinois. I know, that's what I said.
Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, but you knew that. I'm your host, Frank Whelan. You knew that. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Hopefully you knew that, too. Let's take a call here. We've got one waiting. Terrace in Illinois, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about something. You see, I just got the energy cream today.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, and you see, I have a question about the energy cleaner. How do you sleep with the energy cleaner? Like, how do you sleep on it?
Well, did it come with pads?
Yeah.
Big copper pads?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, pull your sheet off, throw the copper pad down. If you have a mattress topper, you know, like a little pillow top thing, you can put that over it, too, if you'd like. But basically, lay the big pad down on your bed, put the top sheet, the fitted sheet, over that, hang the wire down, you know, the end of your bed, and then just hook it on the little metal hook.
But I have these big long ones. You know the one that goes straight up and down?
Yeah.
Like those one, like a narrow long ones.
Yes.
Do you use those?
Did you not get a big wide one that covers your whole mattress?
A big wide one.
Yes.
Can you hold? Let me check for a minute.
Well, I tell you what. Here's the thing. Why don't you go and check it out? And basically, if you have one, go ahead and do that. And if you don't, if you just got the long ones, you can call Lee and ask him if you should have gotten one that would fit your whole bed. But you can basically just take the narrow pads and lay them on there. You can attach as many pads to the machine as you'd like. Just make sure there are batteries in it and it'll work.
Yeah, I have battery. So you need a big pad, and it can go below the actual bed mattress, like below the bed covering. Can it go below that?
Do you mean in between the mattress and box spring?
Yeah.
I suppose it could, but I mean, I can't guarantee it'll work. I don't know because I don't use that.
How do you use it?
I would put it right under the sheet. Put it.
Okay.
Just pull the sheet off, throw the pad down, put the sheet back on. It'll feel a little stiff at first, but it'll loosen up after a while.
Okay, I'll
Small
try
price
that.
To pay for health, man.
Yeah.
So check that out, and you know, if you have any more questions, you always give us a call. And if you didn't get one of those pads, I'd call Lee and ask him about it.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So anyway, as I mentioned, folks, got some big things going on out there in the world. Politics is very much an issue, and it will continue to be as time goes on, obviously, just looking at the various sort of elections that are coming up and things like that. There's a lot to talk about. Here's some legislation that you might be interested in. Maybe you've heard about it. Little thing called internet radio, which some of you may be listening on as we speak. Now, this doesn't necessarily apply to Republic Broadcasting Network, to my knowledge, but I imagine that this is something that John Stadtmiller will probably have his lawyers take a look at if he doesn't already know about it. It came out today from Newsweek, and here's what it says. As you read these words on your monitor, I printed it out, obviously, there's a decent chance that you are also streaming a little online radio. After all, with an estimated listenership of approximately 50 million Americans per month, internet radio has become a go-to destination for a fuller spectrum of music, an alternative to FM's mind-numbing monotony. And if you are one of those listeners, mark May 15th on your calendar. It might well be the day that the music dies. Ah, yes. Gets a little interesting. Last month, the trio of Library of Congress judges that oversees copyright law statutory licenses decided that May 15th will be the date royalty fees owned by web radio operators will be recalibrated. The Copyright Royalty Board changed rates from a percentage of review to a per-song, per-listener fee, effectively hiking the rates between 300 and 1,200%, according to a lawyer representing a group of webcasters, said Tim Westergren, founder of the music discovery service Pandora, to Newsweek, quote, "If this rate does not change, it will wipe out the vast majority of web radio. If this stays, we are done. Back to the Stone Age." End quote. So this is pretty significant, my friends, and you may see exactly why all this is happening. Because obviously, this just puts the ball into the big boys' hands, the people who can afford to pay these kinds of royalties. And it takes it certainly cripples a lot of people who are interested in web-based music, doing like their own little radio-type service. Now, again, we don't pay royalty fees for talk, obviously. This would primarily be just for music. But at the same time, they may change something like that to say, if you play more than 10 seconds of a song, then you got to pay a royalty on it, in which case all of our talk beds would be very, very, very short. It says Royalty Board Chief Justice James Sledge declined to be interviewed on this case, which lawyers said they intend to appeal. The fee hike will affect internet radio, not terrestrial AM and FM, because of a strange wrinkle in copyright law. Broadcast stations pay royalties only for the composition as a piece of intellectual property. These are the fees that go to songwriters through ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. I think I'm saying that right. But in 1995, the Recording Industry Association of America, otherwise known as the RIAA, you know, the ones who go and sue people for downloading songs and whatnot? Yeah. Well, they lobbied Congress to pass a law that would require an additional performance fee specifically on digital music. So internet radio stations pay both the composition fee plus an additional royalty for the performance of the song, the actual act of streaming it online. The fee goes to record companies and artists through Sound Exchange, an independent body set up by the RIAA to collect and distribute digital royalties. Webcasters have gone into full counter-strike mode. The Save Net Radio Coalition of listeners, artists, independent labels, and webcasters helped spearhead a letter-writing campaign that inundated Capitol Hill with 400,000 signatures demanding that a fairer royalty scheme be implemented. Last week, that effort bore fruit. U.S. Representatives Jay Inslee, Democrat of Washington, and Donald Manzullo, Republican of Illinois, filed the Internet Radio Equality Act, which would overturn the Royalty Board's decision. We'll see how that goes. Perhaps unsurprisingly, Sound Exchange's Simon is not happy with the proposed legislation. "The bill is completely out of line and uncalled for," he says. "We have no interest in seeing Internet radio go away because they pay us significant royalties," end quote. Yeah. Simpson, and by exchange, by extension, the recording industry itself, does not seem to be focused on the long tail of basement jocks and non-commercial radio sites streaming indie gems. Rather, SoundExchange claims in a statement that the bill would, quote, result in a windfall of $50 million to megacorporate webcasters like Clear Channel and Microsoft at the expense of recording artists, end quote. But Ian Rogers of Yahoo Music says that, quote, SoundExchange is not dealing with the facts. Internet radio in its entirety is less than a $50 million industry. The amount of money I make selling ads on my radio product is less than I will pay in royalties, end quote. So in essence, what he's saying here, and the whole situation would be set up like this. You got people, maybe they're in their basement or wherever they keep their computer, and they've got their own little internet radio station. Maybe they record stuff or whatnot. Maybe they just have little things, sweepers, sometimes they're known as, and these would be the little imaging things in between the songs, like 10 seconds or something, just to, you know, more or less identify what radio station you're listening to. And that's done for ratings purposes that the AM and FM stations would do. So I presume that internet radio could do something similar. I don't listen to a lot of internet radio myself, but anyway, basically the gist of it is that you would have basically on your computer something the equivalent of maybe, I guess you could say, like a computer program where you've got all the songs on there and you just go ahead and spin them through there. And it's like the equivalent of that. So what they want to do is charge people per song, per listener, for the act of streaming it. Now, that's the way I understand it thus far. But obviously what they're talking about here is that, you know, for the big boys, the Clear Channels, the AOLs, and Yahoo Music, all that stuff, they do make money on ads because people are very familiar with their websites, familiar with their products, so they go there anyway. You know, Yahoo obviously has search engines and news sites and email addresses, Google, same thing, and so on and so forth. So for them, that's really not going to cut into their profits so much. But what this will do, in effect, is just annihilate the streaming capabilities of, you know, college radio stations and things like that. And certainly the individuals who want to play some songs and really get some music out there to the people, you know, stuff that you're not going to hear. And I've talked about this many times before on the show. The music industry itself is set up in such a way that the record industry, basically, they pay off the radio stations. And certainly the bigger the radio station, the more the cost of what you're paying for. That's how radio stations get their contests and whatnot. Okay? The record industry buys them. They buy a trip. Okay? They give it to the radio station. The radio station uses the trip to advertise itself, and they hype it up with contests and things like that, which there's nothing wrong with that. And then in exchange, they play songs that the record company wants to hear. That's how the scam is set up. But if you super saturate the market, as I said, in radio and television, magazines, and so on and so forth, the internet, obviously, you can really make anything the number one song, or make any album the number one album, or make any tour the highest grossing tour. You just have to hype it up enough where people are like, oh yeah, I've heard of that person. Yeah, sure. So the point is that all of your media, your song-based media, is controlled. It's all controlled by people who have money exchanging hands. And that's not necessarily the best music out there. In fact, I would dare say that most of the music that's out nowadays is all crap. So for them to do something like this, I have a real problem with this, because in essence, what you're doing is you're making sure that the music that is available to people is only coming from the big boys, the ones who have the vested interest in it, not simply the love of music. So, in and of itself, this is a big deal. The story goes on. Ironically, it is the smaller online DJs who really get stuck with a bill they can't pay under a per-song, per-listener fee. The small webcasters play a lot of songs but don't bring in as much advertising revenue as the corporate streamers, if they bring in any money at all. And anyway, we'll continue with this when we come back here in 3 minutes, folks. Please stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio right after this.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture,
Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Radio. I am your host, Frank Will. Glad you're here. Our phone number, of course, 800-313-9443. We'll have time for calls here, I imagine, before the hour's up, and then our guest joins us. But very, very interesting story that I'd like to finish here. This one, again, from Newsweek.com, and it came out today, about internet radio is being threatened by new royalty fees. And again, these royalties only apply to internet broadcasters, not to the AM and FM broadcasters. So it's very, very interesting. It says Rusty Hodge of Soma FM said he paid $20,000 in royalties under the old rate last year. With the royalty board's decision, Hodge estimates his fees for 2007 will be $600,000 and closer to $1 million next year. So you can see that's a pretty dramatic increase, obviously. Nonprofit stations like National Public Radio affiliates will pay a flat fee up until a certain number of listeners is reached, after which they will have to pay the commercial rate, meaning some public radio stations may see their fees spike tenfold. That's no good for them, certainly. According to NPR spokesperson Andy Sporkin, quote, there are some stations considering pulling the plug entirely. We're the no Justin Timberlake zone. You're getting all these genres that aren't getting regular commercial airplay through this. And though this decision certainly hurts the stations, it hurts listeners more, end quote. I agree with that as well. Because in essence, it's very, very difficult to gauge how many people are listening on the internet, certainly. But, you know, it can be done as far as the different feeds go. But again, that's assuming that there's one person per feed, which you'd hope when having to pay for it, you'd hope that's the case. But as far as people listening, you'd hope that's not the case. Anyway, it says, what about the musicians? David Byrne, the former Talking Heads frontman, offers a unique perspective as both a big-time radio artist and a big-time host, small-time host of his own non-for-profit radio station. He said his station costs him about $2,000 a month in fees and estimates that once the royalty board decision goes into effect, his costs will jump 20% in the first year. He told Newsweek, quote, I lose money on this, end quote. He also dismisses the notion that he's giving away tunes to the detriment of performers, an argument advanced by Sound Exchange and the Recording Artists Coalition, a lobby group founded by Don Henley and Sheryl Crow. I hate that. I really do. I despise musicians who feel that way about their product for a number of reasons, and I've said this many times on the show. Look, a lot of people were upset about Napster when that first came about because they said, oh, well, now you can download these songs for free, and the recording artists are not getting their, you know, proper compensation. Well, I understand that to an extent. But what is the benefit of that? Let me give you an example. How many of you would be listening online if we charged you, you know, $10 a night or something to listen? You'd say, no way. Well, that's what radio stations will have to be paying, actually a lot more than that. So what I'm saying here is that the way the situation is if you're up and you're interested and you have a computer, obviously, you might tune into the show. But if you have to pay for it, you might look for something that's free. So the idea here is that this broadcast, by not costing you anything to hear it live on the internet, it spreads the word. It spreads the word about the guests who are on. It spreads the word about the show itself, about the network, and about all the people who call in and different things like that, the concepts that are raised, the websites that are given out. It raises awareness. And if we had to pay for that, it would certainly raise less awareness because people, you know, are not going to pay for something they don't know what they're going to get. So basically, in most businesses, they would pass the fees along to the people. So for these smaller broadcasters, they might say, hey, listen, if you want to listen, we got to charge you now because there's no way we can afford to sit here and pony up all this money simply out of pocket for a loss every single month. Now, we obviously are listener supported as well. So, you know, meaning the whole network here. So there's a lot that you can do to help out with our current situation. But if it came down to us having to pay for those feeds to go out, that would be extraordinarily difficult for all of us, I think, for you guys and for us. So this is a bad scene. Now, as far as the music industry goes, yes, it does spread awareness of these artists. And I think that's a good thing. And I've always said the one way to increase music sales, and what they do is they track online downloads versus like CD, you know, CD sales and things like that. CDs are basically, for those of you who haven't maybe been out of the house in a while, CDs are the shiny little records that are played with lasers. I'm kidding, of course. But what I'm saying here, in essence, is that if you want to sell more CDs, rather than internet downloads, make the packaging cooler. It's that simple. It is that simple. There's nothing else to it. You can throw videos on those discs. They have a lot of memory, a lot of space. You could throw additional tracks on the CD. You can do all sorts of things. Now, the appeal to me of listening to things on like iTunes and certainly the other forums that have digital music is hearing different versions of the songs. You know, maybe it's released only in Japan. Well, guess what? I don't feel like trucking on over there in the hopes of being able to hear a song. But I can find it online. Or what about live performances? So, you know, Don Henley and Sheryl Crow whining, oh, we're not getting paid. Well, that maybe you should do something different or better, right? Now, if you say you're not getting paid for people listening to your concert, you know, maybe a couple of tracks that are live tracks that are spinning around on the internet, well, guess what? You did get paid. Because you performed the show, and people who showed up paid you. So why, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's just greed, honestly, is what it is, and I think that's awful. It's certainly a terrible, terrible way. If you're in the music business, I think you should be in it for the right reasons. And it's not just music, it's everything. I think you should get paid for your work, but at the same time, you should be doing what you do because you love what you do, because you feel it's important. Now, do you feel the music is important, or do you feel the paycheck is important, in which case Don Henley and Sheryl Crow maybe should ask each other that. Stay with us, folks. We're back in three.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel or Jeff Bennett help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
You're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, talking about internet, music, things of that nature. Anyway, David Byrne, who's in the Talking Heads, of course, he had this to say, quote, "My experience was that, yes, when your song is played a lot on the radio, it generates some royalties, but what it really generates is that people know your work," end quote, which Byrne says translates into album sales. Amen, sir. Amen. With May 15th looming large in the minds of webcasters, Kurt Hansen of the Radio and Internet Newsletter is organizing a day of silence. Tentatively scheduled for May 8th, hundreds of radio sites, large and small, plan to take a day off from webcasting to drum up support for their cause. Soma FM's Rusty Hodge will likely be one of them, saying, quote, "We're the small guys, the pioneers," end quote. Unfortunately, for Hodge and his listeners, he may become a pioneer of a different kind this month, among the first to go quiet. So a real, real travesty, my friends, especially for those of you who do like hearing maybe some music that you're not going to hear on your mainstream commercial radio stations. Maybe you like certain themed music, something like that. Whereas I could tell you that right off the bat. Let's say, for example, you love Chinese gong music. And who doesn't, right? But let's say that you love Chinese gong music. So you you tune around on the dial, AM and FM, in your town. And guess what? Nobody's playing all Chinese gong music all the time. Well, there's a reason for that, because there probably isn't a huge market in that area that you live in for that kind of music, where the advertisers would just simply flock to it. So you surf around, and oh, lo and behold, there are enough people who listen online to Chinese gong music who patron a certain radio station that plays that, and you're squared away. You've filled your need. Didn't cost you anything. Well, guess what? That need will be going away, and you will be subject to simply trying to maybe buy Chinese gong music CDs on eBay or something like that. So this is a big deal, if only because it's a foot in the door. It's much like satellite radio, Howard Stern's new domain. They can make a lot of money if they can regulate that somehow. And they're looking at this for the same thing. This is a little different. This is the Recording Industry Association of America, if that's what they're called, RIAA. This is their thing, and they're doing it supposedly for the artists. But I can guarantee you that the majority of that money is not going to go to the artist, just like in any other circumstance as well. If you look at the amount of money that goes to the record company versus to the artists themselves, especially one that's relatively a newcomer to the scene, they don't make a lot of money, folks. You might find that hard to believe, but it's the truth. The record companies would say, hey, look, we're glad you actually got us in the black, because you know, it costs a lot of money to make your albums and promote your shows and do this and do this and do this. So, hey, we deserve this money. We're a business, and that's how we make money. So the artists, unfortunately, usually fall by the wayside. But this is just, I don't know, just a pet peeve of mine, I suppose, is the money-making thing as far as the exploitation of the artist. But at the same time, the artist sort of allowing themselves to be exploited and things like that, saying, oh, yeah, we need to get paid every time because the record companies take too much of our money. Well, guess what? Start your own label. Do it your way. A lot of different empowerment tools out there for people. And, again, I think keeping the people from the music is a bad way to operate. Well, let's go to the phone, shall we? 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Bert in Ohio, welcome to the show.
Actually, Frank, this is Shay. Bert had to grab a customer. How you doing today?
Oh, how you doing, Shay?
Pretty good.
Does Bert know that he's not allowed to be grabbing customers? That's harassment.
Yeah, I don't know how he works that out.
Right.
he told me to share an interesting story with you that I told to him when I first started here.
Uh-huh.
Every year, me and a friend of mine go to the Detroit Auto Show in Detroit, and normally we stay in Canada after we get done with the show.
Okay, Windsor.
Right.
Very familiar with Windsor.
It was, I'm not sure if it was because of the new recent passport law or what,
yes,
but this year, when we attempted to go across into Canada, mm-hmm, we were turned away at our own border.
Yes.
Do you feel in any way this could be a way to keep American citizens in the country?
That's a very good question. I think there's a multitude of different things that go into something like that. First thing, I think, yes, certainly they could keep people inside, but I think that the main obstacle here is just to make it enough of a harassment for you and for certainly all the people who live right there. I mean, I've lived in Detroit myself, so, you know, we used to jet over to Windsor all the time. It was not a big deal. In fact, it was almost cake. I mean, there was no problems at either border there. I've had problems at the Canadian border before. I've actually been strip searched at the Canadian border, but not at Windsor. So, you know, it's relatively easy to get across. Same thing when in Buffalo, New York, getting over there into Ontario, by way of the Peace Bridge. Very, very simple and easy thing to do. But what they've done now, especially, like I said, for the people who did the trip all the time, they've made it such a hassle, and like you said, they'll either turn you away or whatever the case may be, that you need to have this passport. Well, in Washington State, I believe it's Washington State, right there on the border with Canada, they said, hey, look, we've got this really cool process. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to now pass, we're going to do a pilot program for these new driver's licenses that have these microchips in them. And with this, you don't need to go and buy that $100 passport. You just got to buy the $40 driver's license. It'll be great. So guess what? Most people who have grown accustomed to that sort of thing will say, I need to have a driver's license anyway. I already have one now, so I'll just go turn this in and get this, and I'll be a donor for organs, so that'll save me $5 more, and then I'll do this, this, and this. And now I've basically got the equivalent of a passport. So now I can continue to do what I've done my entire life, which is cross the border to Canada, visit family, friends, visit the shops or the stores or the bars or restaurants, whatever, or casinos, as the case may be, in Windsor. A lot of different things you can do. So I think they're kind of making it more difficult to make the driver's license slash passport with the microchip seem more appealing. You know what I mean? I think that's the big thing. The other thing, too, though, I have no doubt that they desperately want to keep tabs on who is leaving, and that way they'll know if somebody didn't come back. For example, if they have a draft and you decide, hey, I'm going to go play at the casino in Windsor, and see you, sucker, I'm off to Saskatchewan. You know, they want to be able to keep tabs on that sort of thing. So I think that there's a lot going into that because, very simply, there's an agreement now with Canada that wasn't there before where they can, the U.S. government can cross into Canadian territory to confiscate draft dodgers. So, you know, basically they have the authority to do that now in Canada courtesy of some sort of untoward agreement. But so I think there's a lot of things at work here to basically integrate people into the mindset of you know, passport slash driver's license with a chip, good. Not being able to go to Canada, bad. You know, that sort of thing.
Right. Another thought of mine was, is when this happened, I wasn't quite aware as awake as I am now.
Right.
Now that I think about it, it's also another way to push not only the national ID card but the RFID chip.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. Well, they will come. The national ID card will have a chip on it that's going to have, at the very least, biometric data. And that's where it starts to get kind of, you know, iffy because, I'll just give you a perfect example. My driver's license here in Arkansas has a little strip on the back. And if the cops or whomever were to scan that, they would be able to get my fingerprints. Now, that's, you know, relatively new, although I remember getting a driver's license in Georgia somewhere in the realm of 97, and they had it there at that time. So I assume that when they scan that card, that's all it has is my, you know, fingerprints, and it's just the two index fingers from each hand. But I don't have the ability to read that card at my house, so I have to, what, trust them? And, you know, I was thinking about this today because my guest coming up here in about 15 minutes, he and I have talked about this extensively. You'll definitely get a lot out of this interview, I think. But we were talking about that today, and I said, well, you know, they say that the RFID is only going to have, you know, your biometric information, which presumably will be fingerprints, but it could be an eye scan. It could be any sort of any number of things. But you don't know because you don't have an RFID reader at your house. So how do you know exactly what's on there? At some point, and the RFID chip was approved for subdermal implantation under your skin for medical purposes. So that way, you know, if they found you unconscious on the side of the road, they'd scan your hand, and then it would read all of your information and say, oh, okay, well, Shay here is allergic to penicillin. So we'll treat him, but we'll avoid the penicillin, thereby avoiding an accidental death. Because you were unconscious on the side of the road, which, you know, the way I look at it, they've been able to treat people just fine without these problems popping up. Now, why invent reasons to do this? But that's how they were able to authorize the patent process to be able to implant it under your skin. So in essence, we assume that it'll just be biometrics, but it could, of course, be your medical records. Now, take it a step further. Let's say, for example, that we have some sort of health situation. They have mandatory vaccination programs, or rather, they have optional vaccination programs, but you must be vaccinated to go into certain areas of the country, like the city, or certainly to cross into another country. Well, then they'll have to put your medical records on there. So that's an important point as well. Then they could presumably also, if we ever get into a financial collapse, that we might switch to a credit system. It might be very easy to say, well, now we're forming the North American Union, and Canada and Mexico are on board with this, and we've got these new finances, and we'll do cash, you can exchange it for the Amero for a brief period of time, and then we're switching to a credit-based system because that's the easiest way to do it. In which case, presumably, the microchip that you guard with your life because it has all your sensitive information would also be a de facto credit card. So there's a lot of things that they can use to sort of implement this thing and sort of gauge the popularity of it.
Oh, absolutely. And also, that sounds really familiar to this book I've been reading. I don't want to mention its name or anything, but the Book of Revelation, it sounds really familiar somehow.
It sure does, doesn't it? It's amazing yeah, how that works. Well, you think about it, the capacity to buy and sell. Well, already, You know, if you get one of these RFID-implanted driver's licenses, which, as I said, they're already doing in the state of Washington in certain areas as a pilot program. But if you were to use that, that's the only way you can buy and sell in Canada, because you got to get there first. So, you know, it does apply to a certain extent.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I thought I'd call and share a little bit of insight that I've been thinking about recently.
Well, I'm glad you did, my friend. Very, very glad you did.
Like always, I'm a big fan of the show, and I can't wait to hear your interview tonight.
Well, you're a good man, sir. I appreciate the support, appreciate the call, and appreciate you sharing that story. That's a very important story.
So all right, Frank, have a good one.
You too, my friend. God bless. You know, the other thing that's very interesting about that is, from what I understand, if you even approach the border, and it's very easy to do in the Detroit, you know, Michigan, Windsor, Canada area, because basically it's just an exit. You start down that exit, and you're in a tunnel. And then when you get out of the tunnel, you're at the border for Canada. And let's say maybe you weren't paying attention, you went the wrong way. Well, it used to be, you know, they could simply just say, hey, go ahead and turn around. I'm sorry, I got off on the wrong exit. I'm going to turn around. They're not going to do that anymore. Now if you're there, you're getting checked. And because they'll assume, oh, well, this person was wanting to smuggle some drugs, so we need to search them and check them out. Let me see your driver's license or your paperwork. You know, just like the being pulled over, it would be, in essence, a checkpoint. Okay, now I don't know if that's on the American side or the Canadian side or both, but I presume that it would be, you know, if you approach, they have the right to figure out who you are and what you're doing there, even if you're just going the wrong way. And they may not believe you. And, of course, anybody that's ever been harassed by the Border Patrol knows full well they can do anything they want to you on either side of the border. You don't have any rights there. I've seen people, their cars completely dismantled on the side of the road. And guess what? Border Patrol didn't find anything. What do they do? I'm sorry, sir, let me assemble your car for you. They say, oh, you're free to go. Well, thanks. Can I have a wrench? Nope. Okay. Well, I'll pop the trunk. I'll store my engine pieces and my seat pieces here, and then I'll go and try to find somebody to come pick me up so that we can go back here and get a tow truck, and I can pay exorbitant amounts of money for you to be a jerk. Thanks for nothing. But you don't want to screw around with those guys. They are, in essence, sort of above the law. Let's go to Wes in Arkansas. Wes, welcome to the program.
Hello, Frank.
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. I'm actually in Talladega, Alabama, driving down the road.
Well, wonderful. I've driven through there many, many times. It's a weird area. I'll just leave it at that.
An armpit, maybe?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say that. There's a lot of NASCAR fans. it's a weird vibe. You know, the Talladega National Forest, when you drive through there, you just kind of get the feeling there's a lot of bodies buried out there. I don't know.
You never know. You never know.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, you know, I can't listen, and I'm just driving. I wanted to call in and say hi, number one. We've been missing each other. But
yeah, right on.
The other thing, did you see this the bridge, I guess, that collapsed due to the tanker catching on fire and melting it?
Yeah, I did. I did catch that, actually.
What was really funny is I was in a truck stop earlier getting gas, and I just saw a quick clip on Fox News, mm-hmm. and they flashed up all of these melting point numbers, and they were talking about, oh, how simple it was for that to happen because, you know, steel melts at 2,750 degrees, and that tanker generated a fire of 3,000 degrees. And I just thought, boy, they're awful quick to throw those numbers up now on something like this. But,
yes, they are.
You sure as hell never saw or heard that talking about the Twin Towers.
It's an excellent point, my friend, and something I actually was looking at because, you know, they have various, you know, 9/11 truth blogs and things like that, and people were saying, hey, wait a minute here, they're just doing, this is a conspiracy, the road melted only to disprove the idea of, you know, steel being able to melt and so on and so forth. But again, we know better than all that, and for those who are not paying much attention to the whole, you know, I guess the physics of September 11th and the trade towers and whatnot, you know, they might look at that and say, well, yes, this proves that, you know, steel can melt, and yeah, maybe it can, but guess what? You and I both know. I know that's burned in my memory for all time. I remember where I was, what I was doing, and what I thought as I was watching those towers come down. Did they look like they were melted to you?
No, absolutely not. And we know now from, you know, Professor Jones's work and a lot of other people, you know, there's no way, given, you know, the drywall, the desks, and, you know, all of those inefficiently burning materials, that it got over 1,300 or 1,400 degrees. So, you know, it's just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And but I think that's the main thing, though, is did that building melt? And somebody would say, well, part of it did, and therefore the collapse. Well, you know, you're assuming, first of all, that the steel beams in the World Trade Center towers, that first of all, they all burned at exactly the same intensity, okay? And they all burned so uniformly that it came straight down, as opposed to just basically what I expected, honestly. And I remember watching the news that day and saying, well, gosh, I think, you know, it seems very likely to me that if it falls, the top part's going to break off and take out a few blocks.
The top's going to topple and take it out, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if it melted, you're telling me that the whole thing melted from an impact, you know, on the whatever 70th floor? It's preposterous, honestly.
Well, we know it's crap.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey,
all right, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Good to hear from you, and I'll give you a call tomorrow. You drive careful, though.
Take care.
All right, buddy. Folks, we'll be back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am, your host, Frank Whelan, and Here we are at the tail end of the first hour already. Lots of great information courtesy of you guys. Be aware of our phone number, 800-313-9443. And keep in mind that this hour is being brought to you by our good friends down at the Howard Creek Resort, featuring 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and easy access to all the fun things, recreation and otherwise, that make Arkansas the natural state. There's lots of caves to explore, lots of trails to hike. Certainly there's a lake right there, Bull Shoals Lake. Fantastic stuff. You can rent a boat and spend some time, just kind of get away from your life, from the day-to-day activities, and spend some time there at Howard Creek Resort. You can see them on the web at www.howardcreek.com or call them toll-free for more information at 877-253-7690. Good people down there at Howard Creek Resort. Lots of fun stuff to do in that area. Beautiful, beautiful area. Let's see how many more calls we can squeeze in here. Let's go to Joe in Idaho. Welcome to the show.
How are we doing tonight?
Hey, doing well, buddy. How are you?
You're good.
All right.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to point something out. I've listened to so much since I've been on the line.
Yes.
But let me say something here, because I haven't heard anybody reference this, not even once.
Okay.
There is a difference between iron that spans horizontally than what stands vertically, okay?
Okay.
You can take a straw, and the more weight you put on that straw laying horizontally, okay, put some weight on it, it's going to fold in the middle. What do you use to bend steel with? Use heat.
Okay.
Okay, so if I took a span of metal 60 feet long, loaded it up with asphalt, what have you, and then created heat, it's going to bend.
Okay.
Okay, and with the weight of that bridge, you know, pushing down the asphalt, whatever else is there, all it has to do is move a few inches and it's off the blocks.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, jump at the bridge is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
You take the World Trade Center, something standing, you know, vertical, straight up,
mm-hmm.
apply that same amount of heat or weight, mm-hmm. and it's not going to do anything in relativity as to what's going to happen to span of metal. By the way, in case nobody ever paid attention, mm-hmm. is when you go across bridges, they do flex.
Yes, also an excellent point. Plus, asphalt is, you know, it's a petroleum product. I mean, of course it's going to burn
yeah.
really easily.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, you use heat to bend metal, and what you're looking at, like I'm saying, is a piece of metal that's spanded horizontally from, you know, I don't know how far apart it was, 60, 70 feet, whatever it was. All you have to do is have a one point, just heat up one point, it's going to start bending. It doesn't have to fold or anything. It just has to move enough to come off the blocks and it drops. That's the way I see it. And I haven't heard anybody mention that today. But if you don't believe that stuff doesn't flex, just go get on a bridge somewhere and get out of your car and stand there for a few minutes.
Well, I just remember, you know, living in New York, you know, when I was a kid, I remember walking across those bridges that spanned, you know, the overpasses and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember those things shaking like crazy. It used to scare the crap
sure.
out of me when I was a kid. So.
Yeah, you didn't notice it when you were traveling across in the car, but you walk.
Right. You walk it, you feel it. That's right. That's right. Well said.
But and I want, let me throw this out to your first caller that was on here tonight.
Yeah.
He's asking about that energy cleaner.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'll just tell him, because I've been using one for a few years. He can put it underneath, you know, his sheets and stuff, but it's not going to do anything underneath his mattress.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Okay, but you can put it underneath all the bedding that's on top of the bed, you know, and it works fine. But the mattress is a pretty good stretch.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I know people who say you can connect it to the coils, but I have one of those Tempur-Pedic mattresses, so I don't even have any coils in mine.
Yeah.
What I did was I took a mattress, a heated mattress pad, and then I just spliced the wires and wrapped it around. It worked
yeah.
fine.
Yeah, I've heard of that too.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Frank.
Joe, you'll be getting a call from me soon here, my friend. It's been a very, very chaotic time, which I'll fill you in on when we talk. But
hey,
thanks for the call, my friend, and all the great
sure.
information. Excellent point from Joe McNeil, and we certainly appreciate him. Folks, please stay with us. We're back in about 90 seconds with hour number 2 of our Monday evening / Tuesday morning edition, Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth.